Hey everyone, Shane here. Let me tell you about my show coming up on November 24th, Saturday night over at Pops. We're calling it Riffs for Gifts. Me and my friend Lexi Schlimmer put this show together for benefiting Toys for Tots. And we invited along our friends Outrun the Fall, The Poor, Steeples, Monk and the People, The Matching Shoe, and Silent Hollow, all performing live that evening on Saturday the 24th. Along with that, we'll have some silent auction stuff. We'll have, there's rumors that Santa Claus might even be there, so I'm very excited about that. And a whole lot more other things coming up, so get involved with the show. You can find more details at popsrocks.com. And come on out. It's a $10 donation at the door, or $5 with a toy donation. So again, all this benefiting Toys for Tots, and it's going to be a great time. So come on out Saturday, November 24th, Pops in Sauget, Illinois. Thanks, everyone.
Hi, this is Lexi
and Sid
of Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks and Art, home of the Schlemmer Metal Wolves. We are a small but furious family-run welding, fabrication, and metalworks shop with CNC capabilities and now full-scale powder coating operation. We bring unique, affordable quality art to life within the realm of practicality. Whether it's signs, sculptures, railings, shelves, furniture, or even just powder coat for your rims or your patio set, give us a look, check us out on Facebook or Instagram, or call 618-670-5724. We are Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks. That was terrible.
We tried.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends over at Naked Vine, located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri, serving up all your favorites, wine, whiskey, and local craft beers. Stop by and visit them this week for some live music from the Warbuckles on Thursday, November 1st. Jake Slag on Friday, November 2nd. Kent Earhart and the Blue Moon Blues Band on Saturday, November 3rd. And I return to Naked Vine with my singer-songwriter storytelling showcase on Tuesday, November 13th with Nick Gussman, Maddie Shell, and Sean Kimball. 7 o'clock start for that show, $5 at the door. All these details and more can be found at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram also. And again, come out for some wine and stick around for the show. Thanks, everyone.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Tree 14, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah.
Stop. Yee.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri.
Yep.
Hey. Hanging out with the guys of Tree 14. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hello. Yeah.
What's up?
It's been a bit, man. We haven't hung out in a while, so I'm excited to be back here talking about everything you guys are up to and stuff. We got a lot happening coming up here, closing out the year and everything. So,
yeah.
But I guess we should go around the mic and everybody introduce themselves. We got some new faces.
All right, here we go.
Who's starting?
You're starting.
Yeah. Oh, I guess since I'm talking first.
You're the tallest.
That's right. My name would be Timothy Toe Thumbs Italis. And I play the derms. I mean drums.
Show them the thumbs.
Yeah, there's a reason.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, see those things, dude?
All of a sudden, Shane's got a new fetish.
They're intimidating, aren't they?
Right. 1, 2, 3, 4, I declare nuclear thumb war.
Intimidating. I see what you did there.
Intimidating.
And then we got
Peach, play the bass. I guess I'm the new guy.
Yeah, you are.
That's it. And I'm
yep, I'm Joe, play guitar and sing.
He's an old guy.
The backbone we had the whole band.
He does carry it.
He carries it.
He's the cute one.
That's true.
He's got a nice beard.
I'm Brad. I do stuff with guitars, strings,
and stuff like that.
And sing.
Yeah, sing a little bit. I sing the songs sometimes.
Time to time. I've seen you cut a rug a time or two as well.
Yeah.
I saw him fall down once.
Well, that too.
He's lazy.
It's all part of the shot, man.
Sometimes.
Oh, no, ask me. All right.
I'm excited to be back because I feel like we haven't I haven't seen even Tree 14 in a while. I feel like it's since even the record release party or something like that. Like it's
That's a good one.
It's been a while, man. Like so it's good to be back here today, man.
Right, yeah, for sure. Right on.
Yeah, what was that
last time we did the Rock Paper Podcast, it was probably 3 years ago.
Yeah, something like
easily.
That.
Yeah, it was a whole different ballpark back then. It's different sure. Now, you know.
It was before my time.
Yeah.
Well, we kept going through members. We kept going, you know, we'd lose a drummer, pick up another drummer, you know, lose a bass, pick up another bass, blah, blah, blah. And it was, it was a constant struggle. I'd always have to call Brad and be like, what are we doing? Like, what's happening?
Is this still going on? I don't know what to do. What are we doing?
We'd have to, and he'd break down one time, I'd break down sometime, we'd call each other and just cry. By the end, cry.
A couple times. Had a good cry.
By the end of the conversation on the phone, it's like, all right, yeah, we got it. All right. Yeah, so this is what we got to do. This is what we got to do. So we had to build each other up to really keep this going and we're glad we did because we picked up Peach, you know, just the circumstances that. We're supposed to happen. We picked up Timmy.
What the actual F?
We were working
our way over there.
The reason Peach is in this band
is because I brought him. You didn't let me get that far.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Still talking.
I'm sorry. My bad. You finished.
So he just started with the one he's more appreciative of.
But yeah, Paul's great.
The one with the less creepy thumbs.
Everything that happens for a reason, especially in Tree 14, you know, we had our bass player Greg introduce us to Tim when we picked Greg up, and he's like, I got a great drummer, you know, he'll fit perfect with you guys and blah blah blah, and we're like, okay, well, let's try it out. So he introduced us to Tim, we got Tim, and it was perfect. It worked out great, and still does. And Greg left, and you know, he's out of town now, and Tim was like, hey, I have a bass player. I know a bass player, this guy Peach, and you know, I played with him in the past and it worked out really well, and Peach came in and boom, it just happened. And I think after constant struggles, we have like the four horsemen right here, between us. It will have other members in, you know, sometimes we got a sax, we got the keys coming in too, but these four guys, I think, are the essence of what we've been trying to do. We got them locked in now, so we're pretty happy with that.
Our keyboard player couldn't make it today, but Nick Stanford, he's that dude. He's a genuine dude.
Yeah,
real cool. Yeah, and Dom on the sax, Dom Knotts, real cool. So
nice. Yeah, man, I'm like I said. The last time I remember, I think was the record release party, and when that came out, which was a fun night, good party good. Over there at Oyster Bar. And
that was a fun night.
Yeah. Had Steve out.
Yeah.
Had Steve out there, play a couple tunes with us, and it worked out. People showed up, and it was a fun time.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's all out there now. We're going to drop in some tunes along the way today, but if you haven't picked up yourself a copy of that, that is available, I guess, digitally everywhere.
Digitally, yeah. We don't have any copies. I know... Brittany had asked us, Brittany Burney, for a copy. But we're working on that.
We're trying. We got several people asking.
Yeah, we'll get them.
I don't even have my copy anymore.
I don't have a copy.
I gave mine away.
Yeah, I gave mine away too. So we're working on those. So Brad's real lazy. Once we get some shit together, we
I don't
get
think
some
that's
more
fair.
I prefer consistently lazy.
I don't think that's fair. I feel like, I don't have the money. That's going to be a group effort.
Excuses.
Right. Money bags over here. Come on. Toss me some dough. Let's work it out.
let's put it on one of those 7 credit cards, man.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
One of the 7, Joe.
I guess we could.
Just get a new one and then pay all your other ones off with that one. It's a loophole.
A tree card.
That most credit card companies don't know about.
I'll explain to what we're trying to do to the credit card companies.
Yeah.
For sure. We need more stickers. More shirts. I'll just tell them. They'll probably be down with it.
Yeah, for
since
sure.
They
yeah.
like us.
Get one of those black unlimited cards.
Yep.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm on a boat.
but that was fun, man. So let's drop in a tune. Let's start with Samuel Jackson.
Yeah.
This is a fun one.
It's very fun.
Anything we need to add around this tune?
Well, it's kind of just about, I really don't know what it's about. Just about being a bad motherfucker, I guess. Yeah.
Like Samuel Jackson, yeah, we looking for that action. Trigger finger itching and that boy get to scratching. Benny's at the trap and your boy about to cash in. Fire in my heart, flame in the passion. A shot in the dark just a chain of reactions. Fear in your eyes, only seen by a fraction. Diminished population through division and subtraction. Divided by compassion, divided by the lies and divided by distractions. Look inside your mind for release and extraction. You look up in the sky for the 10th trail pass, man. Well, everybody gonna die someday. Tell me how they will remember your name. You can buy a lot of things, but you can't buy time. You can have a lot of money, but you can't have mine. Walking through this bad motherfucker like Jason Statham. Brace a little hell, cause a little mayhem. Anti-government, never seen a state pen. Where they send those who be so made to break them. Can't break me down, I've been built too high. Stacking islands like bricks deep inside my mind. If you're looking for the truth, read between the lines. And with the heart of a lion, can't be confined. Well, everybody gonna die someday. Tell me how they will remember your name. You can buy a lot of things, but you can't buy time. You can have a lot of money, but you can't have mine. Remember your name. Will they remember your name? Everybody gonna die someday. Tell me how they will remember your name. Will they remember your name?
He is one of the baddest, for
sure.
He's
bad, dude.
Yeah. It even says on his wallet.
I was going to say, it says it right there on the wallet.
I mean, he single-handedly saved a plane from the snakes.
And, right.
I think that's some of his best work.
Yeah, and I was never big into hip-hop or rap or anything like that. I still really am not. But when he brought the song to my attention and we started playing that a long time ago, I was like, man, this song's cool. I like it. So... Kind of opened me up a little more to some of Brad's shit.
That's a hip-hop tune? I don't know.
It's definitely hip-hop.
I don't think of it like that.
No.
Well, I don't know what you call it. I know it's rap.
No, it's not rap. Not at all. No, it's just like singing a song, but like singing fast.
Okay.
It's fast. I'd call it funk scat.
Okay.
I like that better than trying to pretend it's a hip hop. Not scat like not scat like poop. I mean scat like singing style.
Like Mel Torme.
Yes, like Mel Torme.
Well, I stand corrected. It is
Mel Millibeats.
Funk non rap, non hip hop.
He's been playing this song for years and he doesn't even know what it is. What do you do? You don't even play when we play that song, do you? Just stand there and move around.
Usually I turn my guitar down and I'm just thinking, where the fuck did I go wrong?
I knew it the whole time.
It's a great song, though.
It's a fun song. It's a fun song to play.
Yes,
I'll give you that.
It's definitely one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I wish I was on this recording of it.
I do as well.
Yeah. Definitely would have made it worse.
At least it would be genuinely bad.
Yeah, that...
yep, there we go.
I saw a picture online, like, of Samuel Jackson, like, I don't know, he was like 20 or whatever it was, something like, he's real young, and then it's like, and then the caption just said, you know, like, something like, Samuel Jackson in 1968 or something like that, looking real motherfuckerish or something like that.
I've seen that too, yeah.
He does
that.
It just made me laugh. Like,
man, he looked cool as shit back then, too.
Yeah.
How does he do it? God.
Actually, I had one of those bad motherfuckers wallets for a real long time, so.
Nice.
Yeah, I did away with the wallet, man. I got the wallet cell phone, so it's like two in one. You know, when you leave in the morning, your wallet, phone, keys, you know.
Right. I just my wife's got one of those. Whole,
yeah, yeah, a lot of women have those.
Yeah.
That's pretty true.
Well, that, you know, they're smart.
That way when you lose it, you lose everything.
So. Everything. All at once, yeah.
You piece of shit.
Now you write bad motherfucker on it, though.
Just get some Sharpie, maybe, or something.
Yeah. So it'd have to be silver.
Right.
Yeah, because it's, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, well, it's been a bit since these recordings, and like I said, you guys, half the band, and didn't get to play on these current recordings. But is there plans, I guess, for some new Tree 1-4 soon? Or
we're working on it.
There's loose plans.
Yeah.
It's, we keep talking about it because all the shit we're handing out everywhere at the shows and everything. It's different members, but it's the only thing we got. Mm-hmm. So we keep talking about it, and we're working on it. It's gonna be sooner than later.
Right.
Because we're all pretty hyped about it. We do have new songs, new stuff we want to throw in there as this group,
right.
You know, which is cool. I think it's escalated to be a lot better than our previous stuff with these guys.
If you guys want new recorded material, you got to show up and throw money at us.
Yep.
Make it rain.
Yeah.
And we will get on it for you. Buy some t-shirts.
Yes. Yes.
Shameless plug. Shameless plug.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, we do have a bunch of opportunities. Like I said, you can come out and support these guys, buy a shirt, and like I said, you hopefully get them back in the studio for some new tunes. But we do have November 3rd, you guys are entering the Road to Point Fest at Lit Pops.
Yeah, that was kind of a last minute decision. We were actually playing at, Venice Cafe?
Thank you, John.
And out there in, is it Soulard?
Benton Park, I think.
Yeah.
It's not Soulard, it's Benton
close.
Park.
Venice Cafe, and we had a few drinks in us, and then a few more, and then we were like,
Dustin Hook puts up.
Let's do the Road to Point Fest. Because I think they were still searching for bands to join, and so we were like, let's just do it.
Fuck it. Let's do it.
We texted them the following that night, and then they woke up the next morning, and we were in on it.
Right. Hey, guys, I think I booked a show last night. You guys free this day?
It happened kind of quick.
But yeah, we're looking forward to it, and if there's any possibility that we could, you know, play it, I still call it Riverport, you know, if I could get in the facility and just play around there, I can add that to my life memories. I played a Riverport.
Yeah.
Bucket list.
Yeah, bucket list.
I drove my car around inside there. It was fun.
Did you?
And then they didn't let me use any of the equipment that I brought that I drove my car in there to bring.
Those are always a lot of fun, though, because, like,
First Wives?
Well, yeah. And and Pop's Road to Point Fest down there, because, like, it's a great... like, one night you can see, you know, whatever, 6-8 bands. I forget how many they throw on those shows sometimes. But, like, you get a real quick glimpse of what St. Louis music's all about. You get all kinds of variety. You go from metal to, you know, some reggae stuff. You get some
more metal.
You know, yeah, more metal. You get some, you know, pop punk or whatever. You know, you get a lot of variety. So it's a lot of fun to be a part of those shows. And there's always good crowds. Everybody's bringing other friends. And so it's fun, man.
Yeah, we did it when we first started out. when we first got together, we just jumped in and we thought we were you know, the bee's knees at that time, but we were still working shit out. And you don't realize until you look back 3 years ago, and God damn, no, you know, we made it to the first round, but after that, and we were like, you know, let's just get out of playing competitions and stuff like that. But now we're like, let's do it, because if there's an opportunity or any chance we can play over at Riverport, and even just playing at Pops, like at the very least, we'll get a show at Pops.
Yeah,
you know, that's it. So,
and like they really amped up a lot over at Pops. Like the lights up there now are incredible, and
they did put a lot of work into it. So yeah,
it looks. I mean, it's always been a fun spot, but it looks great up there now. And like everybody looks like rock stars on that stage, like with all the lights going and stuff. And so.
Right. Yeah. So we're looking forward to it. Yeah, it's coming quick next week. So.
Yeah. So yeah, come on out to that November 16th. You can head over to the Bootleg in the Grove, and you can see 314 with Steady Flow. And
Cycles.
Yeah.
Which are two amazing bands. If you look them up at all, research their music, check them out. They are like a flawless, both of them are like flawless, just amazing bands. All right.
Shout out to Drew for hooking us up there. And JMO.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he really helped us out by getting us that show. That's going to be a fun night of music.
Definitely, man.
Yeah.
Drew's the man.
Hell yeah.
Good guy.
Yeah, he is.
December 8th, you guys will be playing the Halo Bar right outside of the pageant after the Revivalist show.
Yeah.
Which will be another huge night.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we're looking forward to that too. I've never played the Halo Bar, so.
It's a neat room.
It's going to be a first for me.
Neither
I,
actually.
I've drank in there. But I've never
played it.
I've never played there.
I played it once.
Not the Halo Bar?
Yeah, when I was with Unify, we did.
Oh, see, now you got to bleep that one out.
It was after a nerd show. Anyway, it's a small room, but it gets rowdy.
Yeah,
good.
Everybody's already amped up from the
right. They're coming off that show.
Yeah, the Revivalist that were you guys over. So
probably totally fun. Yeah,
I'm still debating on if we should do that one. Are we just doing that electric? Or are we gonna do our acoustic
at the Halo Bar?
Yeah,
we're gonna go like balls out, man.
We should be
balls
to the wall.
We do have a great acoustic set that we've been doing, and. It's our songs, acoustic version, which is super cool, you know, and then he's got, you know, a little drum kit and everything. And,
yeah.
It's so weird how well it translates.
It's over. Very cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Little to no effort, and it just fell together really nice.
Yeah, the acoustic stuff is really cool, so.
You know, I was listening to some tunes yesterday, and I happened to pull up Smash Mouth's
seen that.
Yeah, and I was listening to that Walking on the Sun. I noticed in 2018 they re-released that first record acoustic.
Really?
And that has Walking on the Sun and whatever and all the stuff. But I was like, finally, somebody, you know, we've been asking for so many years, we finally got our acoustic version of these songs.
The internet has warped my brain to where anytime I hear Smash Mouth, I instantly think of Shrek.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Shrek is love.
Yeah. Shrek is life.
Yeah. But it actually sounded really good, I mean, because those are some pretty crazy, like, kind of ska almost stuff on some of those songs, and it actually translated pretty well to acoustic, so I was actually kind of enjoyed it listening back to some of the songs. So,
It's always cool to be able to transition songs into acoustic. I mean, it's
when you do the acoustic stuff too, it kind of makes you don't really rethink the tune, but you kind of it's like revamped. You know what I mean? You play it in a little bit different way than you normally would.
Drawn back a little bit.
Yeah, and it kind of sometimes a cool version comes out of that.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And like Brad was telling me, you know, I think he was shunning me. He's like, when you play acoustic, everybody can hear everything that you're doing individually. There's no covering it up. There's no, distortion in the background. Right. No extra sound. So
see, that's why I like the acoustic sets, because everybody can hear what I'm playing.
Yeah, it's very exposed playing acoustic. And it's worked out pretty damn well for us.
Well, it's organic. You can't hide anything, you know.
So. Sure.
Right. I mean, you guys are dealing with just acoustic guitars. I mean, you still pretty much use your...
I use the exact same rig,
just smaller, just toned back. And then I use, like, a kick, a snare, a hi-hat, and a timbale. So you know, it's not like a full-on wall of sound anymore. Like you said, it's more broke down.
It's a lot more articulate.
Yeah, I really enjoy the acoustic stuff. I think we're going to keep doing more of that, too.
I've tried to get Paul to buy an acoustic bass because they don't work.
What a nerd. They're right? Just not, right? There's a reason why jazz bands use giant double basses, because it takes that much of a giant sound chamber to be as loud as the other instruments. Yeah. So like small acoustic basses, you still have to plug them into an amp.
They still kind of sound thin,
I mean, you can compensate tone-wise for them, but you still have to plug them in, or nobody can hear you playing.
Right.
Well, yeah.
I played one for years. It was great for like throwing it in hard and practice.
Sounds like a bunch of baloney, but you know.
Can you slap and pop on an acoustic bass?
If it's set up right.
Well, the action's too high on it. It's probably
all that's adjustable.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, like, I had an old Alvarez acoustic electric one for years. Lost a guitar center. Poor little out for my good homie.
Yeah, straight up.
But yeah, that's, you know, I tried to use it with the band, you know, like the only band I know that's even done it successfully is Violent Femmes. That guy always plays an acoustic.
Yeah.
But even with the feedback buster, the wah wah the whole time, like it was just unusable.
Other than think that's a matter of personal preference.
Yeah. Whatever.
I saw my friends once. Justin was playing this uke bass. He had like a,
those are cool.
Yeah, and I was like, but it like sounded incredible for like what it was. Like, I mean, I was expecting, you know, sound like a little uke or something. But I mean, with those bass strings and the
it's
way
got, like the rubber strings, I think, because I played one at Guitar Center.
Maybe
no, they're like rubber.
The rubber.
Yeah, it's really weird.
And I've watched videos, but I haven't played them.
But like, it sounded huge for what it was. Like it was cool. But anyway, what I thought was cool about this is that you got with you guys playing the Revivalist show. Those guys used to play it at Oyster Bar, and now they're playing the Pageant. So like, I mean, that's kind of what's cool is that you guys are playing Oyster Bar, and you know, might wind up there, man. So
that would be sweet.
Yeah,
hell yeah,
it happens.
Like back in the day, I don't know how many bands I saw at Mississippi Nights, and then the next time they come through, it's Pageant or Riverport. Or if you go back far enough, the American. Anybody old enough to remember?
I've seen ICP twice then, at the American Theater.
Of course, you saw who?
ICP.
Can you edit that one?
What?
We got to do that one. People need to know that.
You guys are making me work on this one. Come on. Yeah.
Sorry. I saw Beck and Tool at the American.
Together?
No. same summer, two different tours. It would be a hell of a lineup.
I would
buy that ticket.
Really strange.
Yeah, that's pretty unique.
I think her name is Deborah.
Midnight Vultures, baby. Dust Brothers produced that one. That's why it's the only Beck album that sounds like that.
So tell us about your ICP phase, Joe.
Did you wear the makeup when you went to the show?
I did wear the makeup.
Oh my god. It's just like finding out somebody in the band is a kiss fan.
But didn't you have the dreadlocks back then, too?
No, I didn't have dreadlocks back then. But I would paint the face. I would have somebody draw one of the cards on my back, so I'd go shirtless. There was one night I dumped Faygo. There was a pastor walking up and down the line, a priest, like
a real one?
Yeah, a real one, like blessing people, and he turned his back, and I ran up and started dumping Faygo on him.
What's Faygo?
It's highly regrettable, okay? I felt really bad.
Phantom?
Now. But it's at different. The time...
You thought it was funny.
Yeah, I love ICP. Even to this day, I still listen to ICP. They're older shit. Riddlebox, huge influence for me. Mm-hmm. And, Everybody's got this look like,
hey, man, I don't judge, dude.
Yeah. Everybody's got a guilty pleasure, I guess.
The worst thing was, you know, when the paint would go into my nose and my mouth.
And it was lead-based.
Clearly.
I remember right before they got big.
Now it all makes sense.
I worked at a toy company making prototype toys. And everybody in the department was weird and into, like, there was artists. There was a guy that collected B-movies. He had 6,000 movies on tape and original posters from the 50s hanging everywhere. Everybody was a character. And this one guy, old Tim Mancinas, he's probably never going to hear this, who was a big influence on what I like in art back, you know, when I was, like, 19, 20 years old. he brought in ICP stuff before they got signed to the first big label, the one that Disney owned, and there was a big hoopla when that their first big album came out because some executive found out that Disney owned the label they were on, and they got booted, and that was a big part of what blew them up in the media. Right before that, he found a bunch of stuff of theirs, you know, when they were still like on indie labels, and brought it into work. And we listened to it and got into it because we thought it was hilarious. We thought it was a joke. We literally thought these guys were doing it as a goof, and then their careers took off, and they didn't know how to get out of the joke.
It's a shtick,
you know. Yeah, but then later on, you find out like it wasn't really a shtick. It was their act, but it wasn't shtick. That's really just
Who they
did
are.
You guys see that video of was it Violent J that tried to kick Limp Bizkit off the stage?
That was all set up. That was a whole set up.
He missed.
It's like all,
both of them. Like yeah, wrestling. Both of them fucking made an arrangement before it happened.
Oh,
yeah, there's a lot of money involved in advertising for that. That's what
I've never heard of this. What happened?
Limp Bizkit was performing, and Fred Durst was on stage, and Shaggy, the guy from ICP, come up and tried to drop kick him. But he totally missed. It just landed flat. Like
that was part of the deal. You probably you can't kick me all the way.
Right. You can't kick me all the way.
He didn't kick him at all. He missed him completely.
If I had set that up, I would have taken that opportunity to push his fucking talentless ass off the stage into the crowd.
He did get him a little bit.
He falls on one of those metal barricades.
Which one?
Fred Durst.
He probably.
You know, there was a lot
of childhood.
There was a lot of talent in that band.
That's my childhood.
You know, Fred Durst. The when I was in Remedy before Remedy was Remedy.
You can edit all this
before Remedy was Remedy. Remedy was a metal band, and we were playing metal and shit. We got a whole metal album and everything.
You gotta find those tapes.
Dude, I do have
those. So you started out as a metal kid, then you went to an ICP kid.
No.
You went to the hippie thing?
I started out as metal. I started out as ICP and metal, okay?
Okay. So those were at the same time.
And then I was at a party and
saw a hot girl with dreadlocks and it changed your life?
No, this couple came up and they're like, "You ever heard of the Dead?" And I said, "No, what do you mean, like Grateful Dead?" I was like, "Yeah, I don't know." So they're like, "Well, just listen to this." And they put a Grateful Dead album in. The first song I ever heard was Jack Straw, and that's the one that played. 360 from there. I went from ICP to metal to hippie.
Like, what did he say? No, 360's well, yeah, all the way back around.
You're right.
You're like, "This dead shit's awesome. Throw ICP."
Well, it's more like a 320.
A 320.
But yeah, that's... I don't know where we're going with that other than my love for ICP. And
I was going to say, last time I saw Limp Bizkit at Pops, which was a few years ago, man, they killed it.
Yeah,
I'm telling you,
super talented.
It was tight as fuck. And it was like a scalpel coming at you. It was just...
Yeah.
The point I was getting at...
Like him or hate him.
Do they still have Wes Borland?
Yeah.
It was the original one. Well, his other band sang, so he went right back.
Yeah.
The point I was
actually I handed out flyers back in the day.
Nice.
I took my album to Red Lobster, where Fred Durst and Pauly Shore rented half of Red Lobster out for themselves in Bridgeton Red Lobster. So we drove up there to give him an album, and as he's walking out, I'm looking at him at Fred Durst and Pauly Shore. Very short. Short. Okay?
I had no idea.
Dude, I'm 14, 15 years old, and like these guys are like down to my man boob level. I saw him walking out. I was like, "Holy shit, that's Fred Durst right there." And he looks like a little Mario character or something. And all of a sudden, I was like, "Where's Pauly Shore? That guy's got to be tall as shit." He came out, and he's just as short as Fred Durst. I did hand him a CD, and on our album, it had a pill bottle pouring out into a hand, and the next album that he came out with had the same artwork on the inside of the album.
Fucking nice. You off, man.
Fuck yeah, he owes me.
Right, right. Well, if you ever get a chance to drop kick him,
don't fuck up. Do better. Do better than Shaggy.
My Pauly Shore story is.
Oh wow. Nice.
I saw him once at Plush when that was a thing. Okay. And when is now the Dot Zach building. And I saw him do stand up over there. And afterwards, he did like a little meet and greet thing. And if you remember Plush, there was like the venue side and there was like a bar side. And then, like, so then the they had these like all these old sofas and stuff, and that's where he was doing like the meet and greet. But he didn't like, it wasn't like just walk up and took a picture with him. He like had everybody sit on this couch in front of him, and like so it just looks like Pauly Shore is like photobombing my picture, like just standing behind me sitting on this couch and stuff. So it's like, it's really just weird. And then, but I did get him to sign my copy of Son-in-Law on DVD. So that was
nice. Oh, nice.
That still got it?
Awesome. Or, Biodome. Sorry.
You still got it?
I was going to say that's the one.
Yeah.
Son-in-Law is a good movie, too.
No, I'm thinking of, what was the Brendan Fraser breakout? Encino Man.
Encino Man.
Oh, that was a classic.
That was Pauly Shore, too.
Yeah.
We
saw both of their first movies.
We sent the juice. We sent.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Oh, we sent a juice.
I love that movie. Yeah, man. So yeah.
His first stand-up record is hilarious. I don't know if you've ever heard it.
Pauly Shore?
Yeah, from like the 80s.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't even know he did stand-up, really.
Yeah.
Check out the heifer chilling in the corner. I'm going to Weezer in the nug. And then he flicks something at her.
You should talk like him from now on.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm serious, dude.
I'll be your shtick. But toe-themed.
Yeah. Check out the toe chilling in the corner.
You totally toe her in the toe.
Weezer in the nug.
Yeah, the nicknames are good.
Shorts. You don't have one.
That's
Brad.
My real name.
I don't have
that's
one.
Paul's like, my slave name.
Brad. I say that a lot, actually.
You need a cooler name.
We'll come up with something.
We'll think of
something.
What's your? It's Peach. I thought it was Pants.
Pants?
Well, it depends on who we're talking to, I guess.
Pants.
There's definitely at least a couple people to come to our shows.
Yeah, Peach is your name.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it, you call him Paul all the time, which freaks me out because I've only known him as Peach.
You freak out. That's why he's late all the time.
It's like, what you're talking about. Who's this Paul guy?
He's a motherfucker.
Tim is always late.
Yeah,
he is that guy.
But I'm usually the first one at the gig.
Okay.
I don't know. There was that last one when you didn't show up at all.
I
was there.
That Venice Cafe one.
Remember the skating when we started playing and then realized Tim wasn't even behind the set?
Yeah. Just keep this part going. And see Tim running across the stadium.
Good beer. We're playing and Joel, and not just me, he's like,
we had a cooler right there by all our stuff and you went to the other end of the building to get a beer.
Brad started the epic beginning of a shit night. Where like
it was rough.
It was a rough night show. When we played. I think we played.
We had a
pretty
great
well.
Set,
and everybody had the mindset to play, different than they would normally play. Well, Brad starts playing, and he's doing this epic intro, and I'm about to come in with the intro, and I look, and there's no Tim. We have no drummer. I was like, hey. I'm trying to yell between them. We don't have a drummer.
Just keep playing this part over and over until he shows up.
Tim's gone. He's not here. He looked back at it and he looked at me so confused, like, okay, keep playing.
Just keep playing.
Yeah.
That hippie was kicking in. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then Tim showed up and we continued on with a 5-minute intro before that. But
yeah.
You know, my buddy Don Mills from work came to that show dressed as Wolverine.
Oh, I saw
fucking
him.
Badass.
Yeah.
And
I like him.
Big old blades he got. He said, like, he's like, man, that guy, the light show you guys did, that cool stuff at the shadows. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Apparently, the lights were right in front of Joe here, and it was just giant Joe silhouette behind the wall dancing around for the whole set. He said, I could tell it was him because you could see the silhouette of his hat.
Yeah,
because he had that
pretty terrible. It was a Halloween show.
I noticed that too. I turned around, I noticed my shadow, and I was dressed as a Riddler. So I had like a tux on, you know, the Riddler tux with question marks and the hat. And I could see my silhouette, and I was all over the place, and I was adding to it. It was cool, though. I didn't think anybody else was paying attention to it.
No, he thought we did it on purpose.
Yeah. Well, tell him we did.
Yeah, we did.
Glad you liked it.
You guys, another big one, December 14th, you guys are returning to Broadway Oyster Bar with the Driftaways, who just dropped a brand new record.
Hell yeah, Gas Money.
Yeah.
Yup.
And Kamikaze
Super
Kush.
Cool guys.
Who could probably use some gas money?
Yeah, they're coming. They'll be coming from Illinois.
They got a bit of a drive.
Yeah,
good
it's
guys.
It's going to be a great lineup. It's going to be great music, reggae. Kamikaze Kush. They kind of push the boundaries from reggae a little bit. And of course, the Driftaways are just
always
amazing.
A good time.
I mean, they're
discovering reggae,
yeah, just amazing. So, And then yours truly, of course. It's gonna be a great separation from them. You know, I think we'll play probably right in the middle. So
we're gonna play some John Cage tunes.
Yeah,
John Cage. Yeah, we'll get the cactus with the piezo.
We're gonna play some Limp Bizkit and ICP.
Yeah, man. Oyster Bar is a great place to play at too.
Cotton candy, don't get wet.
We're gonna play one great song.
I can do that whole song.
That's
it. It would be pretty fun if you guys did a dating game. If you guys just.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I think it would be great. You know, yeah. I want to do some green jelly too.
There you go.
But
man, green. yeah,
this is great.
My friends, sophisticated babies, Adam and Cody. They both play with Funky Butt Brass Band also, but this is like their little side project as a tuba and ukulele duo.
Oh wow, that's interesting.
And they do Three Little Pigs from Green Jelly.
Nice,
like that. Yeah, and cool. It's incredible. Like it's one of my favorite things.
That's really cool. We saw me and my wife saw Les Claypool at Mississippi Nights just a few months before they tore it down, and the opening band was called Drums and Tuba, and the original album, like we bought both their records. The original one is just a drummer and tuba and a singer. And then the second album, they add in a guitarist, and that was the tour.
Yeah,
was those four guys? It was really neat. You mentioned tuba. Right. I forgot. Like it was a really cool show.
I feel like tuba's really getting neglected nowadays. Like there should be more.
Yeah.
More tuba, huh?
More for sure, tuba, dude. For sure.
It's not a tuba.
Yeah.
Not a tuba.
It's a sousaphone.
Yeah.
Die harder.
It's a furet.
Tell me about your mother.
In January,
Daddy, what does he do?
Poopy doops.
In January 26th, you guys are heading over to the Illinois side for Imperial Club with the homies Spilly Nelson and Roughneck Blues Band.
That's
going to be another fun night. Yeah. And we played, it's a Crazy Circus production, which is Scott Fanning that runs that. And last time we played the Bongo Jack. Which was an awesome time. Bongo Jack's awesome, super cool guy. I love him.
When Scott redid that place, he built a really sweet stage. Too. Like it's if anybody had ever been to that bar the way it was before, like Scott's done some really cool stuff with it. It's a real nice venue. Now.
It's very open minded place. They got great drink specials. I mean, great price on drinks and food is amazing. Like their bar food is great. It's a 3 o'clock bar too. And it's kind of like one of the only things kind of around that area. And it's very, very, very cool place.
Yeah,
and with Spilly Nelson and Roughneck Blues Band, it's going to be an amazing show, I think.
Yeah.
I told them last time when we played there, I was like, man, I'd like to come back out here and put a show together and bring some other bands out. And Scott was totally cool with that. He's a very cool, chill guy.
Definitely, man.
So we're going out there and doing that. And
so our first time playing with Spilly.
Yeah, it's first time playing with Spilly. They came out to the show where we played the first time. They were with Bongo Jack.
Yeah, they're great dudes.
Man. Oh, man, awesome. Yeah. And I didn't know them, and they were very, very welcoming and just very down-to-earth cool kids. So
for sure. Well, you guys were talking about the Shadows at your Halloween show at Skadium. Let's drop in you have a song called Shadows. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this one.
Well, this was this is an old song of mine. I had basically just the wah pedal sound to it, and then I also had the lyrics to it. And it's a weird tune, but it was a weird part of my life too. So there was a lot of stuff going on, and a lot of kind of
they're extremely distracting over here, right?
So anyway, Shadows was just a different part of my life, and I always carried it around, but I could never play it with any musicians that I played with. And then once I got with these guys.
Was it because they sucked?
It was a weird song.
They didn't like your song.
The thing with the song is it's weird and it needs a long jam, which Brad introduced to it when I brought him to him, and then it had weird timings towards the end. And it never really sank in until I got with these guys, and then so Shadows is it's kind of whatever you take from it, you know, it could kind of relate to you too. Sure. So, Shadows, it's just...
If
Feels good outside, roll the windows down. I light my cigarette, looking at moving ground. The pipes too clogged, but the music's hitting good. It's time to let go, but don't be misunderstood. I'll take you to the shadows of my mind. I'll take you to the shadows, oh, shadows of my mind. I'll take you to the shadows of my mind. I'll take you to the shadows, oh, shadows of my mind. Come on! Cheese and wishes to go around.
play it different every time we play it live, so
that's cool too. There's no cookie cutter to any of our songs. We do have a couple that will play pretty much the same as you hear on an album or every time, but it's always going to be slightly different because the solos, the leads are always a little different, the drums are always a little different, the bass, everything. So, which is cool. We have no cookie cutter. And then the songs that we do jam, you could record each one of those forever that we play it, and it will never be the same, right. Which is cool. So
we're kind of like a, I don't know, it's like a jam band, but it's all the music is completely different.
We're leaning more towards, I guess, the demographic of the jam band.
Not on purpose, though. Yeah, just kind of. We're letting
depends
it,
on
like
the
really
night.
With this newest, right. newest combination of people, we're just kind of letting it go organically.
It depends on the night,
and that's we're kind of we don't have the jam band aesthetic at all,
right.
but we're still kind of living in that realm, you know, that just anything's possible. You never really sometimes it's, we're just as surprised as everybody else by where it goes.
There's right. definitely a structure to the tunes, but there's with built into the structure are parts that are unstructured. Right, you know sure. what I mean,
and constantly
organizing
too.
Yeah,
a lot of improv.
Yeah. A lot of improv, and sometimes it'll work out, you know, and it'll be like amazing, you know, something that you know.
Sometimes just, like, Brad falls down on the stage, rolls around on his back like.
That happened one time.
And sometimes
we're not even talking about that.
It doesn't work out.
It was a great show. Though.
We're trying.
Yeah, it was good. I don't remember it.
That's how great it was.
Right.
It's like, was I laying down on the stage? Yeah, Brad, you were right by my junk, laying face up.
Hell yeah,
like a beach whale.
That was awesome. No, I wasn't paying attention to Brad, so I looked over and he was already down, and I'm like, he just threw himself on the floor like a rock and roll badass. And Joe's like, no, he like kind of crept down to the floor like an old man with a hurt back.
Yeah, it looked like he was going to sleep.
Yeah,
but he was stressing.
Still
the
playing though.
Yeah, it was great.
I think even might have thrusted the air.
Oh, you did some thrust.
I like slowly and like you could definitely tell he's a lazy one.
I felt it on my chin.
But it was bad. There's people from my work there. They're like, did I thrust the air last night? Yeah, you did. I hate when that happens.
That's a great record title, by the way.
Right.
Thrust the air.
Or it touched my shin.
Subtitle.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta feel the music.
That's right, man. It's like the Holy Spirit just takes you over, man.
Yeah. For sure. Go there. Jesus Christ, you got a soul?
No.
Or the un-Holy Spirit, I don't know. Yeah. One of them.
That's your thumbs talking.
Maybe just the...
No, this is my thumbs talking. Hey, what's up?
To people that can't see that.
Hey, Joe, how you doing today?
Gently put his toe thumbs together and talk to me.
No, seriously, if you guys
should,
ever...
You could put like one lip of lipstick on each one.
If you guys ever come to the show, just try and get a glimpse of these warlocks because
warlocks.
They mean business.
I thought he said Morlock.
Yeah, they're serious. Just try and catch a glimpse.
I play
it's like
kisses.
Kisses.
A lot of thumb action going on here. Making me nervous.
Yeah.
Oh. So anyway, next.
Yeah. Well, you can get involved with Tree 14 on your Facebook page or Instagram and keep up with everything happening, all the dates coming up and stuff. But yeah, again, come out to these shows, throw a couple of dollars. Adam and buy a t-shirt like you said and
free hugs
let's get some new jams on the way, man. Hear some new Tree 14 with these guys, so but thank you guys for doing this, man. It's been a lot of fun catching up, getting hanging.
Thank you all, and I appreciate you reaching out to us again and hoping and getting it done. Three years we'll see what happens, you know, next 3 years.
Yeah.
I know you'll still be doing it.
I'm having a hell of a time doing the show, man. It's been awesome. So I'm gonna keep riding the wave, man.
Hell yeah. Goes. I think one day you might have that star on Del Mar.
I'll take
there
it.
You go.
Yeah, I'm serious.
Yeah.
It'll
work for me. All right. Thanks everybody. Bye.
All right, thanks, Shane.
Bye bye.
Later.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.